The incoming Trump administration is saying it wants to pull out of the so-called TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The TPP was designed to increase trade between Pacific Rim countries, including Vietnam and the United States. A local group wants to increase business between Vietnam and our region. A 10-member delegation of St. Louis Asian American Chamber of Commerce members is recently returned from a week-long visit to Vietnam to do just that. So how well did it go, and how does the TPP debate affect that effort? Joining me in studio are two members of the delegation that visited Vietnam. Al Lee is president of the Asian American Chamber of Commerce and vice president on global trade finance at Regions Bank for the Midwest. John Clark is one of the trade delegates and the president and owner of MasterClock, a family-owned business in St. Charles. Gentlemen, welcome back, I guess I should say. Welcome back from Vietnam.
Yes.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Al, let me begin with you and give me kind of an overview of what the mission was designed to accomplish.
Well, really, it's to develop economic ties between businesses, both from here with in St. Louis as well as in Vietnam. We have a particular good relationship with an organization there called the CEO Club of Vietnam. And so we have access to actual decision makers of business owners there. And we wanted to leverage that relationship that we have with those businesses with introducing them to some businesses that are here in St. Louis.
What do they have that we would like to have, and what do we have that we can sell them?
Well, they are very rich in textile manufacturing. They have got tremendous operations there. And the controversial part, I guess you can say, is they have some low-cost manufacturing. But what we have is we have tremendous products as well that they need, such as my friend here, John Clark, with MasterClock. But, you know, we've got certain expertise in services as well. And a lot of times we don't talk enough about the services that we actually export to Vietnam.
Such as?
So one of the members of our delegation is a company called Objects Design, and they provide industrial design services. So if you think about it, in Vietnam, they've got tremendous manufacturing capabilities there, but they don't really have that creative juice or that ability to design a product from concept to prototype.
Uh-huh.
And that is something that we do very, very well. And it's a part of the world where design is actually mattering now, and such as the iPhone and other electronic products, design does matter even to that part of the world.
John, let me turn to you and get your take on what you see as the kind of relationship your company could develop with Vietnam.
Well, we see it as a very growing market opportunity. You know, prior to this trade mission, we did do some business in Vietnam, but this was my first chance to go over there and be on the ground and actually interact more directly with some of the people. And like Al said, you know, you're put right in front of a lot of the decision makers. What we see about that market is they're starting to get an appetite for higher-end goods. You know, the types of systems that they're putting in have more demands. They want to have better interaction with the rest of the systems globally. So trying to find people that have the experience to deploy that and make it work within their economy and their environment and their culture, I think is a real opportunity for us. Going on this trade mission, it didn't just expose me to some of the opportunities there in Vietnam, which is exploding with growth right now, but it also allowed me to interact with a lot of the other people on the trade mission, see how they can add value and how we can potentially work with them to make our products more, I guess, optimized for that market.
Of course, dealing with overseas, dealing overseas, I should say, is not new to you. Your company is fairly well spread out, isn't it?
Yeah. We do business in, you know, over 100 countries in the world. And it's not just doing the business and making the sale, but it's finding ways to effectively support those deals once you have them. So it's in our blood to go international, but I think that trade missions like this allow us to establish a better foundation. You know, working with someone like the AACC, they've opened doors we couldn't open ourselves going over there. So having that partner, so by the time we get over there, they can help set up some of the meetings, they can help us better understand how to navigate it. I think it just amplifies the success we'd already had.
Well, how did it go?
It went great. You know, I have a distributor over there that I had the first chance to actually interact with in person. We've been working with them, but up to this point, it's all basically been emails and things of that nature. So being able to go in and not just meet them, but meet them under the auspices of the Asian American Chamber of Commerce of St. Louis, having the connections to the CEO Club and some of these other groups, it just brings you in at a high level that they understand you're doing business and you take a professional approach. So I think that we've already seen an uptick in potential business from them just from having that meeting and some of the other opportunities that Al and his team opened up for us. You know, I'm already signed up for next year, and we're doing everything we can to support them.
And what's really great about this trip, it's not just about Vietnam. It's about Southeast Asia. You're talking about a market of 600 million people, and Vietnam is considered to, even though it's a communist nation, it's a very stable government and very market-friendly, which is kind of weird to think about it in that manner. But we also had Enterprise Holdings go with us as well, looking to launch their operations in Southeast Asia via Vietnam as well.
Well, you talked about a market and the number of people involved. I wanted to get into the TPP and just get your reaction to what's going on there in a moment. But one of the things that and looking over some information with regarding that is that 40% of the world's trade would involve the 12 nations in the TPP if, in fact, it ever gets off the ground.
Right.
40%?
Right.
My God. It's enormous.
Yes. Tremendous opportunity there. And, you know, the thing that we need to be thinking about the TPP is, you know, we're only talking about four of the 12 countries are actually Asian countries. The rest of them are not.
Canada and Australia. And
sure. Chile and Brunei. And, so... you know, it's a tremendous opportunity for the U.S. to enter into a market. And my concern about that is if the U.S. doesn't step in to participate, that the region may pivot more towards China, which is the very thing that the TPP was in part trying to support, is to kind of hedge in the hegemony of China.
During your conversations in Vietnam, did this come up? Was that part
of
the dialogue?
Absolutely. In fact, we were there when the election unfolded, which was pretty fascinating. And I was at a table sitting next to the general consul of Thailand to Vietnam. Uh-huh. And she just leaned over to me. She goes, "What is going on in your country? Are they not wanting to do business in Asia anymore?"
Well, and your answer was?
I said, let's wait till, you know, the presidency gets established and Trump is a businessman, and I'm hopeful that the rhetoric doesn't match the action. And I think when you peel everything back and you look at the opportunities and you look at the fact that only 8% of our labor force is in manufacturing, that this is an opportunity for manufacturing labor to grow because a lot of companies like John's can export their manufactured product to overseas. I have the privilege of roaming an 8-state territory, many of the states in the Midwest, and I only talk to companies that do international trade. And, you know, a lot of the companies that are making stuff for export are actually in the communities that are in the rural areas. And those are the guys that make stuff, and those are the guys that we need to retain that labor force. And in my mind, that the opportunity for those communities in the rural areas that actually make stuff to continue to thrive and sustain is they need to be able to penetrate these markets.
They not only make stuff, they make jobs. And that's what
right.
you're talking about.
Absolutely.
And that's what a lot of the discussion during the campaign was all about. So
that's right.
That even makes it more confusing in a lot of minds as to why we would want to pull back. Let me get your take on this, John, with regard to what you were hearing concerning how they were thinking about us at this particular time.
They're confused. They're looking for some guidance, you know, just some sort of a structured policy that they can, you know, react to and build their policies around. One thing that I learned over there is that a lot of the leaders over there that had given their support to TPP, now that the administration's announced that they don't want to pursue it, you've got all these leaders who went to their people and went to their delegations and said, we need to support this trade deal. Now it's been pulled, and the question is, what's going to support these guys and the I guess, expectations that they've laid out to their people. I do agree with Al that, you know, when you export a product, you're actually bringing the foreign dollars here into our community. With a lot of the service-based economies, it's just kind of trading money around and kind of creating this GDP. Whereas when you can make something, like Al said, in some of these communities here, and if you can export it to Australia or Brunei or Vietnam, you can actually bring that real value back to the community. So I think it's important on our end. I guess back to your question, like I said, they're looking for just a structured policy that's predictable, because right now they're just waiting to see, is the rhetoric going to match what they do? And if not, what do they need to do to prepare?
Yeah, I've got to take a break now. I want to pick up on a couple of these points, and we'll do so when we come back. I'm talking in studio here with Al Lee, president of the Asian American Chamber of Commerce. He was a part of a delegation, I'm sure led the delegation to Vietnam earlier this month, just about the time the election was being held. He's with me in studio, as is John Clark. He's the president and owner of Master Clock in St. Charles, a company that does business in many parts of the world. Come back to talk more about the business they'd like to do with Vietnam in particular in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Al Lee, president of the Asian American Chamber of Commerce, and John Clark, president and owner of Master Clock in St. Charles, both just recently back from Vietnam as part of a trade delegation there. This was called a scouting expedition, I think, by someone in your organization. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, actually, the scouting exhibition was last year. Ah. So this was our first formal trip. But this is my third trip as a member of the Asian Chamber to Vietnam.
And what did past years produce in the way of results?
Yeah, so last year we went at this time, and part of it was I wanted to see whether or not this made sense to bring St. Louis companies to go. I mean, it cost them money to go, and I just wanted to make sure it was a wise use of their expenditures. So it was an opportunity for me to go to the CEO Club event, CEO Club of Vietnam event last year, and see what kinds of people that we would be meeting and what the economic opportunity could be.
So that was the scouting mission.
That's right, the
past one. John, what precisely was it that interested you in making this trip? I know you're interested in doing business wherever you can, but there must have been something about this particular venture that really attracted you. What was it?
Just the growth opportunities within the market. I think Al may know the stat better. I think Vietnam's currently 55th in GDP globally,
right.
And the prediction is within, 10 years they'd be
the 17th largest economy in the world. So when you're looking at that kind of tremendous growth, you as a local economy or you as a local business, you want to sell into an area that has growth.
Sure.
And there's no other place in the world, in my mind, that is growing that's going to be growing as fast as Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
That's also friendly to do business.
John, any problem at all in doing business or drumming up business with a communist country?
We haven't run into any specifically, I guess, political barriers. One order that we did supply for an airport over there about 3 or 4 years ago, they refused to use any network switches that have been produced in China as part of the installation. And that was something that I hadn't really encountered, is people refusing to buy goods from certain areas. On this trade mission, I didn't encounter really any of that. It's kind of, as a businessman, you kind of have to figure out how do you get into the right grooves and make sure that you can still make the right sales. So with the political affiliations that they have, we tend to try to, you know, not pay as much attention to that and just see where we can create the value without getting too involved with all that.
Al, there's long-standing animosity between Vietnam and China going back many, many, many generations. Are they worried, the Vietnamese worried about China filling the gap if this TPP thing falls through?
I don't know if they're worried. I mean, if you talk to the actual business people there, they don't really talk much about politics necessarily. They're looking to get a profit just like any other business. And whatever the political climate is, they find a way to navigate around that. So their focus is mostly on
where can I make money and how can I grow revenue for my company? And that's actually my concern is, you know, we're trying to develop these ties with between the U.S. and Vietnam. And if U.S. kind of shoves our hand in their face, it's a potential that they may pivot to the other major economic superpower, which
is China.
How
so? I mean, what sort of pivot are we talking about? Just doing more business with them?
Yeah, just doing more business with them, looking for more foreign direct investment from them. They've been looking for some foreign direct investment from the U.S. There's some modest foreign direct investment going into Vietnam. But most of the foreign direct investment has come from countries like Korea, Japan, some of the other industrialized nations in Asia, and now China as well. And so, you know, it's inevitable that China is going to be a major player in our world economy. I just would like to see the U.S. invest a little bit more in Southeast Asia for jobs here.
John, are you doing any business with China?
Not too much. We've had products we've been spec'd in for large corporations we deal with globally. But as far as trying to directly penetrate the market, we've kind of sidestepped it. We do a lot of business, and outside of Canada, our next two largest trading partners have been Korea and Singapore. And like Al said, a lot of the companies there in Korea, Japan, and even in Singapore are now investing in Vietnam to take advantage of some of these lower manufacturing costs and some of the eases of doing business they're introducing.
They all see the growth potential as well.
Yeah, they see the growth potential. So, you know, in the past, the kind of general consensus is if you wanted to get into the Southeast Asia region, you go in through Singapore and that kind of acts as your hub and you can deploy around there. I got an interesting piece of feedback from a guy at a big steel company over in Vietnam. Who said he set up his main operations in Vietnam and supports all of Southeast Asia from there. And he finds good value in the cost analysis and the logistics of still being able to support the whole region. So we see it as a potential opportunity to kind of shift where some of our focus is, seeing as that's what they're already doing down there, and see what we can get from it. You know, in addition to supplying the products, I think there's an expertise that can be exported as well. Not just with our products with timing systems, but we were over there with the University of Missouri, who's working on a new service learning project with Nike. And some of the programs that they're setting up there are just phenomenal with the ability to help students get real-time interactions with some of these programs, help Nike, you know, diversify their supply chain over there. A lot of those opportunities, like Al said, the services are just as important. And we see an ability to go over there and take some of the cutting-edge technology applications we've done here domestically, apply that expertise over there, and be more of a solutions provider than a manufacturer.
Yeah, the strong education tie is very important here as well. 20% of the Vietnamese budget is spent on education. And compare that to about 2% of the federal budget spent on R&D.
Yeah.
So they are really focusing on delivering a Western style of education to their population, that's of which 75% were born after the war. It's the second youngest population in Southeast Asia next to the Philippines. And so having institutions like University of Missouri and Washington University, both of them went – investing educationally wise is also a tremendous gain for the area.
What about agriculture? Very important to this part of the country.
Absolutely.
Was there representation from that sector over there? And is there a real market in Vietnam?
A huge market in Vietnam. We didn't have any ag-related folks on this particular trade mission. That is something we're thinking about in the future with the Department of Ag. In my job, I cover the state of Arkansas as well. And the state of Arkansas has developed a good partnership with Vietnam from an R&D perspective with rice. Mm-hmm. And also with the concerns with bird flu in Vietnam, in Southeast Asia, they're importing more poultry. So the state of Arkansas is really big in poultry and rice. So they've developed some good partnerships there in Asia as well.
Right. How much clout does an organization like yours, and I'm talking not the bank, but the Asian American Chamber of Commerce, I assume there are such organizations all over the country.
Right.
How much clout does it have to influence policy, do you think? And I'm going back to the, you know, what we're looking at for the next 4 years, and I'm sure there's an interest in having an impact and an influence.
Right. You know, I have a fundamental belief that, you know, if we get the business community to show the benefits of trade, that's our clout. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to do at the Asian American Chamber of Commerce is we want to promote trade between St. Louis companies to Asia, which is 60% of the world's population. Why would we want to shut off that part of the world from a customer base? And so trade is a two-way thing. You import some products from your trading partners, and you export products to those same trading partners. So we cannot be protectionistic in these types of things, because the opportunity, especially with the growth happening in that region, is tremendous, and it can only add jobs here in the St. Louis area. What's great about this trade mission that we did with Vietnam was we were the only American city represented in the CEO Club of Vietnam. The only American city.
Well, what exactly is that? I mean, the CEO Club Chief Executive Officer.
That's right.
That's like a civic progress, I guess.
It's kind of similar to the RBC, Regions Business Council here in St. Louis. To be a part of this group, you must be a CEO of your company. And so it's a pretty tremendous organization of CEOs and business people. Some representative companies are the largest fish exporter and producer in Vietnam is part of this. One of the largest logistics companies is part of this.
Have the Vietnam War wounds healed vis-a-vis relationships between the two countries, fully healed?
Yeah, that's a great question. We spent most of our time in Ho Chi Minh City. And
formerly Hanoi, that we remember so well.
Or Saigon, actually.
Saigon, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
sure.
Hanoi's in the north. Yeah, but yeah. I think there's more – I think Ho Chi Minh City or Saigon, there's such tremendous business activity that I don't really – I never got any sense that there's any kind of lingering effect of the war, although they call it the American War there. What I said before, 75% of the population was born after the war. So, you know, Vietnam is also known as the most optimistic nation in Asia. When they look at when they survey the population in terms of what their economic prospects are compared to the generation before them, so I think they're looking more ahead than they are looking behind.
John, you're too young to remember the war, I'm sure. At least you appear to be. Did this come up in your thinking at all? We lost 50,000 young men and women there.
Actually, on the plane over, I was reading a book called Five Presidents by a guy named Clint Hill, who was a former Secret Service member.
He was a guest on this program not long ago.
Okay, yeah. It was a phenomenal book. And so right before I got there, I kind of got a refresher from his perspective on what it was like during the war years and a lot of the tribulations and trials they went through. When I got there, it was kind of surreal. You know, we were on Al's phone watching the results of the election come in at noon over there while touring the reunification temple, you know, and when you look on your airplane ticket, it's SGN is the airport code, not for Saigon, but you're flying into Ho Chi Minh City. From my perspective, it was, I think they still need to do some to bridge that gap as far as, you know, what is the name of the city? You know, how are we going to approach this? But on the ground, from what I experienced personally, I didn't see any animosity. The people that I talked to, it almost wasn't even an issue for them. I think, like Al said, they're optimistic. A lot of them weren't even around when that happened, and they just want a better life.
Yeah. Al, you're already making plans for next year, and John has indicated he wants to go.
Yeah.
What do you look at and to in the next couple of years? Again, I'm thinking of the change in administration, change in a lot of attitudes. What are you thinking right now about what those 4 years might hold?
Oh boy, I'm just hopeful that when we look at the facts of business economics, that it makes sense to keep these trade talks open, and that, you know, the rhetoric will turn more supportive towards the TPP because of the opportunity for blue-collar workers and manufacturers that employ those types of folks. And, that's kind of what I hope is going to happen. But, again, I think it takes business leadership to influence the politics in this case, and that's what we're trying to do as a chamber.
And you seem fairly optimistic in a sense that will win, that will weigh out in the months ahead.
Well, I'm hopeful, But I'm going to behave as if that is the way, the path forward.
How about you, John?
One thing about the state of Missouri is the ecosystem here for support on these matters is unrivaled from what I've seen in a lot of other, not just neighboring states, but around the country. You got everyone from the Missouri Department of Economic Development, the St. Louis Partnership. You know, now that I've gotten more involved with the AACC, what I see is an opportunity for all these different groups to work together. And like Al said, you know, the business community can drive a lot of these policy decisions and hopefully influence it. So if we can get all these groups working in alignment, I think that there's the St. Louis market is a great place to be doing business. I think we're laying the right foundations in places like Vietnam, and you know, Governor Nixon did a lot of different trade missions. I'm optimistic.
Great. I'm going to leave it at that note. We have to do that. Thank you both for being with us. Good luck with the dealings that you've made so far and with those to come. Great talking to you both, Al Lee and John Clark. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download to podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.